I'll ask you to please remain standing as I turn to our scripture reading this morning, which comes from the book of John. And again, if you have your Bibles handy, I'll ask you to turn with me to John chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 43 to 51. John 1, 43 to 51. Reading in Jesus' name. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. You know, right in that first verse there is a phrase that I just love. Speaking of Jesus, he purposed to go into Galilee. He purposed. Jesus had in his mind to go do something. And that something was to go find Philip. It happens so much in the Gospels that Jesus has a purpose to go find people. Find people who will follow him and bring them into the saving faith that he wants to provide. They will follow him and keep following him all the way to the cross and to heaven and to eternal glory. But after that phrase that I love so much comes another phrase that I love even more. And that's Philip found Nathanael. I love that verse even more because what's going on is Jesus is continuing to go and find people. It just happens to be that he's doing it now through Philip. Philip, now that he's a follower of Christ, is being used by Christ to go and find others. Go and find others that need to follow him as well. And that just gets me excited as all get out because that tells me the story of all of us who are followers of Christ. All of us who are trusting in Jesus Christ's death for the forgiveness of sins and are trusting in his resurrection for eternal life. We're all being used by Christ so that he can find more people who are lost. More people who are in need of his salvation. Isn't that just exciting to know that we are all enlisted in this great mission that Jesus is on? But beyond all that, we have here an example of just one of the ways that Jesus brings salvation to a person. And I don't want that to sound funny to you because really there's only one way Jesus brings salvation, and that, of course, that's through the cross. But what I mean is that Jesus uses many different ways to bring the good news of salvation to many different people. He seeks to know the depths of people's minds and the depths of their hearts to bring them, I guess you could call, a customized version of the gospel. Speaking directly into their lives in a way that's going to touch them and leave an impact and let them know that he is the Christ. The way Jesus creates saving faith in a person is going to be different from person to person because he knows exactly what that person needs to hear in order for them to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. So for the woman at the well, she needed to know that Jesus was familiar with all her sins. and yet he showed her kindness anyway. That's what she needed. For the centurion, he needed to hear that Jesus had command of all heavenly things. And so in this example with Nathanael, Jesus purposes to find Nathanael through Philip. And those of you who have experience with going out there and doing the work of an evangelist can identify with Philip, because things are kind of off to a rocky start, aren't they? Philip says to Nathanael, "Hey, I found the Christ. You know, that one that Scripture has been promising since the beginning of time? He's here. He's here right now. And he came from Nazareth." Philip's really excited with this news. And rightfully so. He's got some great news for Nathanael. Nathanael's reply, "Nazareth, pull the other one. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth." So right there, folks, you got to see that there's a downside to this great mission that Christ calls us on, right? There's no one here who isn't called to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to our neighbor. But at the same time, we're called into a job where we're going to run into resistance. It can be no other way. Unbelief is unbelief. And that means that there will be objections to the gospel. In Nathanael's case, he just couldn't believe that the Savior would come from a hick town like Nazareth. Now, Philip could have done a lot of different things to respond to Nathanael here. And there's two in particular that come to mind. First, he could have just kind of ended the conversation. That'd have been easy. "Oh, you don't believe me? Well, that's fine. I'll just leave you to perish in your unbelief." Well, that's good thing you didn't do that. Second thing Philip could have done is he could have formed a solid and compelling argument for why this Jesus is the Messiah. He could have pointed out all the things about Jesus that have already fulfilled prophecies, and he could have tried to defend Nazareth as being Jesus' hometown and why it makes sense for the Messiah to come from there. But he doesn't do that either. Instead, Philip does the one and only thing that is sure to create saving faith in Nathanael. He invites him to come and see. Come and see. Throughout the almost 2,000-year history of evangelism, there's never been a more effective tool than those three little words, "come and see." For all people who earnestly desire to follow Christ, and to all who desire themselves to be used by Him to find the lost and unsaved people in this world, all their efforts can be boiled down to that simple little invitation, "come and see." And why is this so effective? Well, this tells us. Let's find out. As Nathanael approaches, even before he has the chance to open his mouth, Jesus says to Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." And right in those words, Jesus identifies Nathanael as an Israelite indeed. He knows Nathanael. He knows Nathanael to be a true Israelite. And that bears a little attention on our part. What Jesus saw in Nathanael was a genuine hope in the promises of God to deliver that Savior who would remove the sins of the world. Throughout the New Testament, this is how a true Israelite is identified. Someone who believes God's promises that God would send the Messiah and that this Messiah is Jesus Christ. This is what Scripture tells us separates a true Jew from a false Jew. A false Jew, one who is no longer included in God's redemption, is the one who doesn't believe that God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. One who is trusting and obeying God's commands in order to gain salvation. And so just like Paul says in Romans 9:6, he says, "Not all who are descended from Israel are Israel." So in Nathanael, Jesus sees that he's not simply trusting in his Jewish heritage to be considered a child of God, but rather Nathanael is trusting in God's promises. And that right there makes him a true Israelite. But at this point, Nathanael's salvation is not yet complete. He trusts that God will send the Messiah. But he does not yet know that this Jesus of Nazareth is in fact the Messiah. "I've never met you before," Nathanael says. "How can it be that you know me?" Nathanael still doesn't get who this person is. And so Jesus continues on. He says, "Before Philip called you, I saw you underneath the fig tree." Now, Jesus was nowhere near the fig tree where Philip was, where Nathanael was sitting. But given Nathanael's response to this, there was something very important going on with him under that fig tree. The fact that Jesus saw him, well, it's more than a simple seeing of Nathanael with his eyes, but Jesus saw into Nathanael and came to know Nathanael in his innermost parts. Jesus came to know his most earnest desires and his most persistent struggles. And only speculation can tell us what Nathanael was doing under that fig tree, but what we do know is it was real common for a devout Jew to go off alone in the shade of a tree for private devotions and for prayer. Perhaps Nathanael was reflecting on and praying for the Messiah he so desperately longed for. We just don't know. But what we do know is that Jesus seeing of him under that fig tree was huge for Nathanael. Huge. And it provoked nothing other than a confession of saving faith from Nathanael. He says, "Teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Nathanael calls Jesus the Son of God, which is just unmistakably a messianic title. Nathanael's just confessed Jesus to be the Messiah. And just in case there was any doubt, he acknowledges Jesus to be that Messiah who would forever sit on the throne of David as the one true King of Israel. And with those words, we see that Jesus' simple words, the simple fact that Nathanael was seen by him sitting under the fig tree, we see that Jesus' words have created saving faith in Nathanael. And now he is counted among the saints in the book of life. Isn't that beautiful? Simple. Jesus doesn't demand any further acts of devotion. He doesn't ask Nathanael to go through some special ritual to ensure that he is saved. Jesus simply creates faith in Nathanael. Through his own words, he creates saving faith in Nathanael, and his saving faith is expressed with the simple confession that Jesus is the Son of God and the King of Israel. And even though no further actions on Nathanael's part are demanded by Jesus, there's a wonderful promise that follows here. Did you catch that? Nathanael has just seen a little piece of the puzzle now, right? A little piece that created faith in him, for sure. But through the eyes of faith, more and more truths about this Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed to him. And the greatest of these truths will be that Jesus will be revealed as the one who bridges the gap between heaven and earth. Jesus is the one on whom the angels are sent and who return in their missions in the world. In other words, Jesus is the one and only stairway to heaven that bridges the gap between sinful man and our perfect God. Doubt to belief, saving faith in the promise of heaven, revelation of great spiritual truths. All of this was given to Nathanael, all because Philip dared to say to him, "Come and see." And that's where this text really speaks to us today. As we all leave this church today, we're going back out into the mission field. We, like Philip, have already been called. We've already been invited to follow Christ. And we're now all enlisted as being the ones who Jesus will use to invite others. Jesus is still purposing to find people. And he's going to do it through us. As tempting as it can be to encounter people and blow them off because they have an objection to this wonderful good news, that's not our calling. As tempting as it can be to rely on well-crafted and persuasive arguments to defend Christ to the world, that's not our calling either. And I feel I need to back my argument up there a little bit with what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, I presumed to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. See, we too are called not to get into lengthy philosophical and rhetorical and scientific discussions about Christ. We're not called to dismiss our doubting neighbor, but rather we're called to simply say, come and see. Come and see. Come and see this Jesus of Nazareth, who is our Messiah, saving us from our sins. Now, we don't have it as easy as Jesus did, do we? We're not omniscient like Jesus was. We don't have the ability to peer into the darkest corners of people's hearts and just say the right words that they need to hear to create faith into them. But make no mistake, Jesus will speak into their deepest desires and create saving faith in them. And how does Jesus speak today? It's all right here. This is how Jesus speaks today. One way only, through the book that He Himself wrote, the Holy Scriptures. This invitation to come and see Jesus is an invitation for our neighbor to come along with us and see where it is that Scripture speaks into their biggest life questions. You know, it's an invitation to follow me as I follow Christ. And you know, that takes a time commitment on our part, doesn't it? Because again, we don't have the benefit of knowing someone instantly, like Christ did. We also don't have the benefit of physically bringing someone to Jesus, in front of Jesus Himself, for Him to talk to. So this invitation to our neighbor to come and see, it's an invitation for that neighbor to enter into a relationship with us, a deep friendship, where you eventually get to this place where you can comfortably discuss the deepest desires of your hearts and those doubts that plague us. It's an invitation to hear Jesus' words as He speaks into those dark corners of our hearts. It's an invitation to see where this person's life, you know, where in that person's life Jesus will speak words that will result in a confession of saving faith in that person. And then there's even more to come. When saving faith happens, we get to continue. We continue with them and we say, come and see. Come along with me, because we've only just begun. So we keep looking at Scripture together. More and more wonderful truths about Jesus are going to be revealed to us. That's why it is that we are a church here today. In addition to bringing the gospel to the world around us, we get to walk alongside each other as Christ continues to reveal wonderful things to us. So from the newest Christian sitting here today to the lifelong believer in their golden years, we get to share in the excitement, the joy that comes from learning yet another wonderful thing about God. Or from finally understanding that one thing you just couldn't understand before. And we all get to share in that joy and excitement that comes from more fully knowing Jesus Christ our Lord. Come and see. Who knew those three simple little words could do so much? Only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, our Savior, we thank You that You have placed people in our lives who have invited us to come and see. Lord, we thank You that You have purposed to find us, that You have spoken Your words into our hearts, creating faith that saves us from sin and death. Our God, as we continue to trust in you, as we continue to believe that you are the Christ that saves us from sin, I pray that you would come along with us as we enter into the world and look for those who you are still seeking. Lord, we just pray that we are faithful to your call to invite our neighbor to come and see and to hear the word that will create faith in them. Lord God, we just pray that we are bold and fearless when it comes to sharing your gospel in this broken world. For we can do all things through you who strengthen us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.